Good morning. If you could make your way to your seats, we're going to look at Psalm 150 today. We're continuing our summer series in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 150 is a psalm that I think we're going to find great delight in this morning. And I'm so glad that we're here together for Community Sunday, and glad that we have some guests here with us this morning. It's good to be together here in our local community. Glad the younger kids are here with us in our main auditorium during the service here. Great to have you guys here. We're going to read Psalm 150 together. So if we could please stand, let's read this together. The words are going to be up on the screen behind me. But I want to just tell you something before we read this. If I came and told you something, and you could just tell in my heart that, you know, I meant what I said, you'd probably take what I'm saying seriously. If I looked at you and I said it twice and repeated myself, you'd say, wow, he's sort of worked up about this. If I said it three times, you'd say, wow, this guy's really got something going on here. Well, what if I told you something 13 times? That's what we find in Psalm 150. The phrase, praise the Lord, or derivatives of praise the Lord, are said 13 times in this very, very short psalm. And so, in God's kindness, we know exactly what this psalm is all about. It's about praising the Lord. And so let's read this together, starting in verse 1. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated and let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be here together today to hear from your word. We love gathering together as a community, as a body of believers, to listen to you, to learn from you, and to have your word speak to not only our minds, but also to our hearts, so that you can instruct us in how to live our lives for the praise of your glory. And so we pray now that we would learn a lot more about what it looks like to praise you. So be with us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, how many people know what a Big Mac is? You guys know what a Big Mac is? All right, raise your hand if you know what a Big Mac is. All right. Now I'm going to date myself a little bit, all right? Back when I was growing up, McDonald's had this great idea to get people to really know what a Big Mac was. And so what they did was is they taught people all the ingredients in a Big Mac. And if you were able to say the ingredients of a Big Mac back to them at the counter, you got a discount on the price. And it was like, so everybody learned what was in a Big Mac. Everybody who's nodding your heads, you guys ready to go with me? Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Boom, give me the discount, right? And it was sort of like a game. And so everybody learned, two all-beef patties, special sauce, on a sesame seed bun. And they would go crazy, right? And everybody was having a lot of fun with it. But it was a brilliant, brilliant idea from McDonald's. They got everybody talking about a Big Mac. And so 30 years later, everybody's sitting there, and we can still say it. That is amazing. Songs, catchy phrases, are wonderful ways for us to learn things. And you know what? God uses that technique with us too. He teaches us how to memorize things. He teaches us songs. He puts songs in our hearts so that we remember really important things, things far more important than a Big Mac. Things like what it means to praise the Lord. Psalm 150 is God helping us to remember how important it is to praise him. Actually, Psalm 150 is sort of like a praise the Lord sandwich. In the first and the last verse, what does he tell us? Praise the Lord. So it's a praise the Lord sandwich, but in the middle, Not only does he keep saying, praise the Lord, praise him, praise him, praise the Lord, praise him, but he tells us where we're supposed to praise him. And he tells us why we praise him. And he teaches us how to praise him. And most importantly, he tells us who should praise him. And so the bread of this message is that we praise the Lord. The first and last line and all throughout. It runs throughout the whole thing. God, through this song, is teaching us what it looks like to praise him. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. And the main point of my brief talk here this morning is that we praise the Lord because of who he is and what he's done. Let me say that again. We praise the Lord because of who he is and what he's done. And so let's look at this first point. And I've just titled it, what? What are we supposed to do? We live our lives before the face of God. We live in his creation that he superintends and watches over. But what is it that God calls us to do? And he says very clearly in the psalm, we are to praise the Lord. Now the word or phrase, praise the Lord, is actually made up of two Hebrew words. Hallel, which means praise, and Yah, which is the short form of the word Yahweh. And so Hallel, Yah, is where we get the word hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's the same thing. And that's what this psalm is all about. Praise to the Lord. Praise to the God whose name we know. He's Yahweh. He is our God. He is the I am. And so the context of this praise the Lord psalm is not sort of, okay, let me write down some instructions for them. You guys better praise him. You guys better praise the Lord. It's not a finger-wagging command that God gives to us. No, it's an expressive song that just talks about what is to be on our hearts, and that is the praise of the living God. We're to praise him all the time, praise him everywhere. We praise the Lord. And this phrase, hallelujah, has a joyful component to it. It's not like, hallelujah, praise him. No, it is joyful. It is spontaneous. It's a word of praise to God. It's boasting in who God is and what he has done. He's the focus of our praise. And we know what joyful, spontaneous praise is all about, right? How many of you all have been to a Redskin game? And there's not a whole lot of praise in there. But I actually had a moment a couple years ago when I was able to go to a Redskin game. And I think it was the last game of the season. I might have a couple of details mixed up, but I remember the experience. The Redskins were about to make the playoffs, but they had to beat the dreaded Dallas Cowboys. And I think it was the last game of the season. And the Redskins got the lead in the fourth quarter, but then Dallas got the ball. And as every good Redskin fan does at that point, they start heading for the exits because you know how it's going to end. It's a very sad, terrifying just experience. But we stayed in our seats, hoping upon hope that somehow we would win this game. And so lo and behold, my favorite Dallas Cowboy player, Tony Romo, decided to throw a pass to one of the Redskins. And it was a joyous moment. And so about 80, 85,000 people in the stadium, they all just went, no, that's not what they did. What do you think they did? They went crazy. They were jumping up and down. Yeah, everybody was high-fiving, fist-bumping. People were going crazy all over the stadium. The whole place started rocking up and down. It was pandemonium. Because we had seen, in our eyes, something great. The Redskins were going to win and go to the playoffs. And so we understand what it's like to have joyful, spontaneous praise. We get the concept. You see it when a soccer player kicks in a goal and they slide across the field and all the teammates come and jump on them and everybody's up in the stands, you know, cheering. We see this in sports. We see it in music. You hear a wonderful piece of music, an orchestra. And what happens at the end? Everybody stands and they encore, encore. When we see something great, when we see something marvelous, something wells up inside of us, and it's spontaneous, and it's joyful. That's what praise is. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, is when we do that to God. When we're reminded of his greatness, when we're reminded of his goodness, when we think about who he is and his character and his goodness, things stir up inside of us when we rightly understand who God is and what he's done. Yet, here in the book of Psalms, we don't always hear about great stories of God's greatness. Actually, in the Psalms, we hear a lot of stories about people who are really sad, people who are lonely, people who are in trouble, people who have enemies chasing after them. Actually, if you go through the book of Psalms, you'll realize that the book itself has actually a lot of stuff that's really hard to track with. But it's a song of the heart. It allows us to speak back to God in words that he understands and that he puts in our hearts so that we can express to him how we feel and what we want to share with him. The Psalms, though, are not one big happy songbook. It's filled with stories of people that are real, like you and like me. Sadness, sorrow, pain, suffering, confusion, weariness, loneliness. One of my favorite psalms that just speaks sometimes to when I'm confused about why God isn't acting in a situation. A paraphrase is it says that when the psalmist cries out, he says, God, why are you standing there in effect with your hands in your pockets not doing anything? Like, that's the depth of what happens in the Psalms. We just cry out to God and we share what's on our hearts with God in all the different seasons of our soul. Psalm 150 describes how we respond to all of life by praising God, no matter what our circumstances. There should be a resounding theme in our hearts and an orientation in our hearts. It says, no matter what's going on, there's a way for me to look to God and to praise him for who he is and what he's done. So when we sing, our praise is to be filled with faith, filled with hope, filled with trust, because our circumstances might not change immediately. But we praise the one who is unchanging. We praise the one who is going to watch over us and our lives and our circumstances, and one who promises to always be with us. So that's the what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to praise the Lord. But where do we praise him? Is it just here on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock? Is that what we do? Is that, okay, I did my praise time for this week? That's not how the psalmist describes it. Look down at the second half of verse 1. It says, where do we praise him? Everywhere. You praise God in his sanctuary and praise him in his mighty heavens. And the psalms are poetry. It's poetic license. It's telling us things, not necessarily in specificity, but it's painting a picture. And what this picture paints is that we praise God both here and in the heavens, communicating to us that God, who is everywhere, is to be praised everywhere. And so this phrase here, praise God, it doesn't say praise the Lord. It uses a different word here. This word for God stresses the powerful sovereignty of God. And it says, where do we praise him? It says, in his sanctuary, in his holy place. Most people think that would have been the temple. And back in the day, and for the Israelites, they would have gone to the temple in Jerusalem, and that's where they would have had big, resounding times of praise and worship to God. But we don't live in those days anymore. Since Christ came, there was no more need for the temple there. Actually, in Scripture, we're told that we are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Whereas Kenneth put up on the screen, and we read those verses, we as the body of Christ are the temple of God. Now, it's wherever the people of God gather, whether individually or more often corporately, that's where the temple is. So whenever we're together, we can be praising the Lord. And not only whenever we're together, but wherever we go. Because the Spirit of God dwells inside of us, wherever we go as the temple of God is an opportunity for us to praise the Lord, and not just with singing. Because our praise is to be more than just words that we sing out of our mouths. It's the way that we live our lives. So that our lives tell this beautiful story of praise to God. The God who redeems. The God who restores. The God who binds up the brokenhearted. Heals the sick. And cares with compassion in his heart for those whom he created. So where do we praise him? In Philippians chapter 2, we get an inkling of this and how it speaks about Jesus. It says in verse 9, therefore, God has highly exalted him, meaning Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow where? In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we see it in the New Testament in Philippians. We see it at the end times in Revelation chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. And it says, and I heard every creature where? In heaven and on and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and did what? They worshiped. So friends, we have the opportunity to praise the Lord, not just in a moment of time, and not just in a particular location. But friends, God calls us to praise God and praise the Lord everywhere. No matter what it is that we're doing, we have opportunity to give him praise and glory. And so when we're asked the question, well, where do we praise the Lord? The answer really is everywhere. And our greatest response in life to all of our trials and to all of our circumstances is to look beyond those circumstances and to look to the one who's in control of our circumstances and to put our trust and our faith and our hope in him, so that we can praise the Lord in all circumstances and we can sing his praises wherever we are. So the psalm has taught us what to do. We praise the Lord. It's taught us where to praise him, right? Now it tells us why we praise him. Look down at verse 2. Why do we praise the Lord? Well, because he is great. It says in verse 2, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. These mighty deeds that are being spoken of, that's what God has done. So we think about God creating the heavens and the earth, speaking them into existence. Tony Romo throwing an interception drew a big kind of a praise from about 85,000 people. Imagine if we stopped and thought about God creating in the heavens and the earth just by the word and speaking it out. That should draw some praise, shouldn't it? And that's what God in this psalm is trying to get us to do, to think about the things that we know about God so that our worship of him will be authentic, it will be spontaneous, it will be current, and it will be filled with faith and certainty and knowledge of who God is and what he has done. God not only created everything, but he has brought salvation into this world for people who were his enemies. He's brought deliverance. He's brought healing and forgiveness. He's brought his presence into our lives when we rejected him. Friends, what God has done for us is amazing, and it's awesome. And as we dwell on it and think about it, it's to generate in our hearts this desire to want to praise him and to worship him. And it says that we praise him according to his excellent greatness. And that's more specifically about who God is himself. He's sovereign, in control of everything. He's holy. He's different and other, perfectly pure in all his ways. He's all-knowing and all-powerful, always present, never changing. And those are great things. But then when we start to dwell on and think about the amazing character of God on an even deeper level, and we realize that God is loving, God is patient, God is kind, God is merciful, and he's good, and he's true. I could go on and on and on. These are the things that this psalm is desiring to generate in our hearts, and an awareness, a remembrance of all these things about who God is, so that we can praise him. And for a lot of us, sometimes it can be hard to think about God in sort of a macro way. And well, you know, I look outside and yeah, I guess I see the trees and the sky and, you know, that's nice. But it doesn't always elicit this big response in my heart. But one thing I know will always draw us to a praise of God is to actually think about the way that God has displayed in the most amazing way his mighty deeds and his excellent greatness. And that's in the giving of his son, Jesus Christ. You see, God created all this stuff, And he created this beautiful world for us to live in. But we made a mess of it. We decided not to live with God in control of our lives. We decided to live with us in control of our lives. And we trucked the whole thing. We've made a mess of it. And not only that, but in effect, what we told God was, you know what? I don't need you. I'm doing just fine without you. But then as we live our lives, we realize that's bankrupt. And we believe lies that tell us that we can live our lives really well without God. But then we give it a try for a little while and we realize, well, that's just a lie. When we live our lives without God in control, we sin against other people. We create enemies. We do harm to ourselves and to other people. Our lives start to spiral in a downward way, even though sometimes we don't even realize it. It's sort of like the frog in the pot. You know, sometimes we're in it for so long, we don't even realize what's happening. But that's what life is like without God. But God has displayed his greatness in such a way through Jesus Christ that it's unmistakable. When we stop and think about the Son of God coming down from heaven in perfect fellowship with his Father and coming down in a humble way and becoming a person just like you and me and living a life in perfect obedience to the Father for the praise of his glory, even at an amazing cost, and that was the cost of his own life. Jesus Christ died on a cross for you and for me as our substitute. That is an amazing work of God, and that reveals so much about God's character because Jesus was his dearly beloved son. And if God would create a plan to have his own son die on our behalf, what does it say about the love that God must have for you and me? Friends, that is startling. That God would love us that much, that he would send his only son, dearly beloved son, to come and pay a price that he didn't even deserve all that. He didn't deserve any of it. But he bore our sins on the cross. And he considered it the joy set before him because he was obeying his Father. Friends, in and through Jesus Christ, we see the amazing work of God. And we see the amazing character of God. And so we praise him. This is why when we gather together and we sing our songs together as a community, that our songs are typically about who God is and what God has done. You see, there's an object to what we're singing about. We're not just singing, I'm just so happy today and, you know, I'm feeling good and, you know, that's nice. But that's not really giving praise to God. No, we come and we sing these songs that remind us of the sweet story of God's redemption and God's care and God's love and God's compassion in our lives. Friends, we praise him because he is great. And the greatest name and the name above every other name is the great name of Jesus Christ. And so we are worshipers of Jesus. That's what it means. We're followers of Jesus Christ. We are Christians. And so he is the object of our praise. Then it goes on, it says, well, but how are we supposed to praise him? And that's the next point. In verses 3 and following, we see that we're supposed to worship God not only with our voices, because that's implied, but also with all kinds of musical expression. Like you might be in here today and wondering, well, what's with the drums and the guitars and the bass and the bongos and the synth and all this stuff, the keyboards? Well, these are things that we understand because the Bible teaches us about these things. Look at verse 3. It says that there's a trumpet sound. We praise him with trumpet sound. That was basically a ram's horn. And so that was like the thing that they would use to call everybody to worship, and it would be a big horn and go, right? Okay, and then everybody would know wherever they were, let's all gather together, we're going to go praise the Lord. Now, if you're just going, that's not a great thing to sing to, all right? But it does call you to worship. It starts to get you going. Okay, we've got the music going. They're calling us to worship. And then it says that we praise him with the lute and the harp. In other words, an instrument like a guitar, it had strings on it, or a harp. Those are instruments that you can sing a little bit more to. And it goes on, additional instruments, the tambourine, the shepherd's flute. Do you see all these instruments are being added in because there's a great song to be praising God with, and it's going to be filled with the sounds of all these different instruments. It goes on and says that there are sounding cymbals and loud clashing cymbals. The first ones might be sort of like a tom-tom drum or castanets, something that's a little bit milder. But let's be honest, the Bible flat out says we praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Now, I know every once in a while when these guys hit these loud clashing cymbals, I'm going to get an email. Why? Because sometimes it's hard, and you know, when we try to be very careful, we don't want to hurt anybody's eardrums, and we try to look at decibel levels, and our sound team does a phenomenal job serving us. Because guess what? You take all these instruments together, and not only are you trying to sing a song, but you're playing melodies, and you're doing all this stuff together, and you're not just playing with each other, but you're trying to lead a congregation in singing and with music. That's not an easy task. It's complicated. And they do a phenomenal job serving us because their heart's desire is that we'd be able to use all these instruments up here in the way that God designed it so that we, together as the people of God, can praise him. And I want to encourage you. Let's take regular opportunities to thank and encourage our worship team members and our sound team members and our projection team members. You know, a good portion of the time that we spend here together on Sunday mornings is actually singing together. And these dear saints make that possible for us. And they do a phenomenal job. They're not getting paid to do this. They come and they worship with us because they love the Lord and they love you. And so how do we worship God? We worship him with a trumpet sound, with the lute and the harp and the tambourine and the flute and the castanets and the loud clashing cymbals. And so we see percussion instruments, stringed instruments, wind instruments, keeping the beat, making melodies. All of these things designed for a specific purpose, and that is that we would praise the Lord together and praise him with song. And these instruments add beauty and layers of sound and expressiveness to how we praise the Lord. It's also why we mix up the types of singing that we do here sometimes. Sometimes we sing hymns that are slower, less instruments. Sometimes we sing songs that are faster and a lot of instruments. Why? Because we're supposed to worship the Lord in all these different ways. And that's what this psalm instructs us to do. Now, if you look at verse 4, there's something a little bit of a head scratcher, because most people haven't heard many messages on this, but what does it mean to be dancing before the Lord? Well, clearly this is not a reference to getting your groove on. You know, we're not up there, you know, okay. You know, we're doing that. And it's certainly not Mr. Roboto, right, Gary? It's not, you know, we're not doing all that kind of stuff. But it's not Ricky Martin. It's not a line dance and we're all going to, you know, a couple steps up and a couple steps back. No, what is actually meant by this? Dancing before the Lord. In 2 Samuel, I think we see one of the great pictures of it. It's King David coming into the city before the ark, amazed at God's goodness and God's graciousness and his kindness and his amazing works. And he's bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And what does David do? He dances, and right before it, it lists almost all these same instruments. And this is what's going on. And David comes into the city, and he's jumping for joy. The word dancing, they don't actually tell us exactly what it looked like. Could have been turning. It could have been raising their hands. It could have been dancing in circles. It could have been jumping for joy. But whatever it was, we can know this. It was something physical. It was something that was expressive. It was something that's spontaneous. And it's something that is specifically to be directed to the Lord and not to ourselves. We don't dance before the Lord to be seen by others. We don't dance in some kind of a perfect way. No, we respond to God with our voices. We respond to God by responding with the musical instruments that he provides, and also physically we can enter in, we can raise our hands, we can clap our hands, we can jump up and down, we can turn in circles, we can thank God for who he is and what he has done. Do you see the picture that's being painted here in this psalm? Music and dance, it's a celebration. That's what's happening here in this last book of the Psalms. In the book of Psalms, there's 5 books, and at the end of each book, there's a hallelujah psalm. In the last book, this 5th book, There are five of them. It's the great encore of the book of Psalms, that we praise the Lord, that we, hallelujah, that we praise the Lord. And so when we think about our corporate worship together, I know that for me, I can become self-conscious. I don't have a very good voice, and I'm still trying to figure out what it looks like to dance before the Lord. And so I can be worried about what you think of me. I can be worried about what I think about myself. It can be a little bit confusing, but as I've been studying this psalm and I've been thinking about it, I've realized I really want to make a commitment to the Lord, and that is that I want my praise of him to be defined by what he says it should be and not the concerns of my own heart. I want my worship to be authentic, and I want it to be directed at him, and I want it to be done in a way that's pleasing to him. And so I'm going to keep looking at God's word, and I'm going to keep praying about it, and I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Let's keep looking at God's word. Let's let it sit in our hearts and do a good work so that we know together and individually what it's going to look like to praise the Lord. Finally, who? Who is to praise the Lord? Verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And this is a really cool part of the psalm. Breath in Scripture oftentimes refers all the way back to Genesis 2 when God breathed life into the man. And so when God, through the psalmist, says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, he's basically saying, let everything that I have created and given life to and sustained reflect back to me the praise that I'm due. So God breathes out life into us, and our appropriate response to him is to breathe out praise back to him. What a cool picture that is. Doesn't it just kind of excite you about getting together and worshiping God and praising him? We who have the breath of life, especially those who've been redeemed and now have a spiritual new life, oh, friends, we get to sing back to God with the joyful song in our hearts, the joyful song of salvation. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And so that's our praise the Lord sandwich for this morning. Praise the Lord all the way throughout the psalm. We live our lives for the praise of his glory. He teaches us in the psalm to praise him everywhere. He teaches us why we praise him, because he is so great, especially as we look to Jesus. How we're to praise him with our voices and with the instruments and with dance. And who should praise him? Let everything that has the breath of God praise the Lord. Pretty exciting. So at this time, as we come to the close of our message here, what I want to do is something a little bit different. I'd like all the kids who are 12 and under to come up to the front of the stage. I want to talk to you just very briefly for something. So all the kids 12 and under, come on up. Come on up. You guys can just stand right up here. Come on up. What's up, girl? All right, come on up. All right, so I want to tell you guys just a brief little story here. Just a brief one. Come on up, Carter. All right. So here's the story. I lived my whole life all the way up until I was 25, and guess what? I didn't praise the Lord. I decided that I didn't think God was real, and I didn't need God, and so I decided to live my life without God. And you can guess how that went for me, huh? Not so good. But then God did an amazing thing in my life. When I was 25, he helped me to see that I really needed Jesus in my life. And so by his Holy Spirit, he helped me to understand the truth of the gospel, that Jesus died on a cross for my sins. And all that bad stuff that I had done and all the bad ways that I had lived my life, well, they could be forgiven. And not only that, but then I would get invited to be part of God's family, the family that I've been part of here for all these years now. My life is completely changed because of what God has done for me. And a really cool thing happened regarding a song. When I first became a Christian, I actually was living in another country. And I was a little bit alone. And I was a baby Christian. And so I still was trying to figure out how life worked. And some of the things that were going on in my life still weren't so good. And I had some good things going on, but also some not good things going on. And sometimes I didn't really understood what it looked like to praise God because I didn't really grow up praising God. And I'm so glad you guys are like learning that at a young age. That's awesome. But I didn't know all that. And so somebody taught me a very simple song. And I'm going to read you the words to it in just a minute. But it was a song written by a woman who was about 24 years old, and she was a young mom. And she had a really, really hard life. And sometimes when she would want to come and praise the Lord, she just had a hard time because she just was so filled with sadness and loneliness and just difficult things going on in her life. But God was so kind to meet her. She says that on the day that the song came, I had gotten up early and was sitting with my Bible and my guitar. But I realized I didn't have anything in me to sing to Jesus. I was so empty. So I prayed out and said to the Lord, if you want to hear me sing, would you give me something that you would like to hear? And then we're going to put the words up on the screen here. You guys can look straight ahead if you want to see that. And hear the words. It says, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. That's a pretty easy song to memorize, isn't it? And that was one of the first songs that God gave me to memorize because it was just a sweet song that I could sing to the Lord. So what I want you guys to do now is I want you to stand up right in front here. Everybody get on down on the main level. I want you to turn around and let's face the stage because Kathy Kahn and Rob Ball, they're going to lead us and we're going to sing the song together. So everybody get down off the stairs. Go stand on the main part here. We're going to all stand together. And would the rest of the congregation please stand? We're going to sing this song together. And this is one of those sort of slower songs, but it helps us to think about who God is and praising him. And then we're going to close our time after we sing this song with a couple of really fast songs. And you know what? They're going to be a little bit loud too. And we're going to really have fun doing that as well, okay? But you know why I wanted you guys up here? Because I want us as a church to be singing with you guys. Because you guys are special because God gave you to us. And we get to worship God with you. So let's all worship the Lord together.